Okay, so 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to look at today, just to start off with. The title of this teaching is Fellowship with God, and I was thinking about this last week, and I thought we'd start in 1 John chapter 3, which is a great verse. It says in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear, or doth not yet appear, what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." A lot of times when we hear that we're sons of God, or daughters of God, I don't think that we always understand really what a wonderful, what that really means to us. You know, sometimes, oh, I'm a son of God, great, wonderful. You know, really think about the kind of access that gives you to a loving father, right? It's pretty amazing. Like, you know, and I thought that we'd look at that a little bit today. The idea, God's idea behind being our father, it was meant to be a father and child close loving relationship, not what I might call a cold, you know, supplier and user relationship, if you know what I mean. You know, I go to God when I need things. He gives me my needs. Once they're met, I go on my merry way and don't think about him. That's not the relationship that God was looking for when he made us sons and daughters. See, it's a full relationship, a sharing, full sharing, where he's your father, you're his child, and you can fellowship with him anytime you want, all the time. It's just a, you know, look at 1 John chapter 1. In case we're not sure that we have fellowship with him, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have..." can you answer that, Patrick? If it's Howie, tell him that Liam won't be going. I think Howie got delayed or something. Yeah. Oh, he's got it? Okay. Thank you. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, have handled of the word of God, word of life. For this life was, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ." You see, this great fellowship that we have together. Right. It's not a, I don't know, I mean, maybe a lot of people in the world have this idea of a father sitting on a big throne and a child sitting at the bottom step. You know, this kind of, that's not a full sharing. That's a fear-based relationship. Full sharing is where, you know, you can call him daddy. He calls you child. You know, as much as I've tried in my life to make the kids fear me, right? It hasn't worked, right? My whole life, you know, like, I try to make them be scared of me. They're not. Are you scared of me? Yeah, all right. See, you know, even when I get angry at them, they're not scared of me. Right? You know, and that's the whole idea. If that can happen on an earthly level, well, your children aren't really scared of you, you know. How about God? Right? Why should we ever be afraid of him? He said, "I'm your father." Why would I ever be afraid to go to him? Like, you know, like a kid could really... You know, I was listening to a teaching, I can't remember, someone was teaching about, I think it was Reverend Gear was teaching about how a kid had broken a TV, right? Yeah, a TV just come in the house, and the kid had just broken the TV, and, you know, had been banging on it or something. And, you know, you would think that that would probably stop that child from ever asking anything from his dad again. No way, right? Not a chance. Why would a child get over that thing so quickly and go to his dad and say, "Dad, can I have this or can I..." Because there's this fellowship of a father, a child, you know, if you're a good father. I understand there are also bad fathers in the world, but, you know, in a normal relationship, a father and child, it's very close. There's no, you know, I'll make an appointment to see my father today so I can talk to him. No, it's not the way it's supposed to be, right? Look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42. I got to thinking about this when I was praying once, because, you know, I asked myself the question, and as we should, I mean, the Word of God should always lead us to ask questions about our lives. You know, am I doing what the Word of God says? Like, is it, you know, it is the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? The Word of God. It's what holds us accountable. It's what teaches us how to believe, what to believe. When we're not believing, it tells us how to get back to that believing. Right? The Word of God is our guide, right? So I was praying once, and I was thinking about, do I just pray to God at my prayer time, you know, my allotted prayer time, or is it because do I pray to Him because I just really want to spend time with Him? What am I doing? You know, it's a question I ask myself. Am I doing this because, okay, I have a need for these things, I need to make them known, which is fine. God is quite happy with us making our needs known to Him. That's fine. But I was thinking about my own heart, not God's heart. I know God's heart is. God's heart toward me is, yeah, you can ask me your needs and I'll meet them for you. That's true. The Word of God says that. I was asking the question about my own heart. Do I go to Him because I need something? Or do I go to Him because I just want to fellowship with Him? I just want to spend time with Him. You know, and as part of that conversation, yeah, I might talk to Him about what I need. Like, you know, the kids can come to me and say, you know, the way the girls do is like, Daddy, you know, it's that I know means Emma's laughing. That means they want something, right? You don't think I know these things, right? You know, but that's fine. You know, but you know, if we didn't have any kind of fellowship, right, relationship, I wouldn't know, and they wouldn't be able to ask me. And I love the kids asking me because I'm their father. They should ask me, right? But you know, like if the kids never want to spend time with me other than just, well, I need something, I better go to my dad now, you know. That wouldn't be a blessing, would it? That would not be a blessing. So I asked the question, do I go to God because I need something, or do I go to Him because I want to spend time with Him? Because He worked really hard to make me His child. He paid a high price. So how do I now respond with love towards Him, right? Is it, oh God, let's just fellowship together. You know, I was looking at that thing that says, sing, what is it, give thanks to Him in song. Like, you know, just praising God, having fun fellowshipping with Him. You know, and I asked myself that question. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Is that the kind of relationship? And is this father and child here in the Old Testament? No, it was servant. And yet, look what he says. He goes, as you know, when a deer is thirsty, boy, it needs to drink, or any animal's thirsty. I've seen the dogs walking around here, you know, their tongues are hanging out, and they need water. And he says, as much as that animal thirsteth after the water, he said, he thirsteth after God. Right. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, look at the desire in the man's heart to fellowship with Him, and yet he was a servant, right? You know, as children of God, do I have that kind of yearning for my God? Do I have a yearning to be with Him, to fellowship with Him, right, on a regular basis? You know, Psalm 63. You know, I would probably be safe in saying, without doing a survey, that for the most part, many people in the world go to God when they need something, right? You know, they've tried everything else. Well, I might as well try God, right? You know, to me, that's not full sharing. That's not fellowship. It's not it, right? You know, and how can the kids can ask me for something? Maybe over the years, you know, they have built a habit of asking, and then, you know, that I do supply their needs, and they get this confidence level built up that maybe the next time they ask, I'll be able to provide something. That doesn't happen like that. That happens after years of providing, years of, you know, having this fellowship. So as a result, now it's like a matter of, they don't even think, well, my dad take care of me or not? Or they shouldn't have a thought that I would or wouldn't take care of them. It should be just natural, right? Same thing with God. If I haven't taken the time to build that relationship, you know, and if all I ever do is just treat him like a, you know, pop in the quarter, out comes the, well, okay, pop in the 225. It used to be a quarter. Out comes the can pop, right? Popping nine quarters, right? You know, if I treat the relationship that way, then I'm not going to have the confidence on a regular basis that I need to have with God, right? Psalm 63, verse 1. God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Right? Look at that great desire in the heart of the man to fellowship with God. Right? You know, I tell the kids, you gotta read the Bible. I don't make the kids read their Bibles. I never have. I don't make the kids pray. Never have. Right? Would that teach them how to fellowship with their God? Right? No. It would teach them into, make them into Pharisees, right? As far as I'm, this is my opinion, okay, my opinion here. But if I teach them, if I say to them, you ought to read the Word of God, there's a difference between saying, you ought to read the Word of God, or go read your Word before I, you know, it's not, it's a matter of why would they, why should they read the Bible? Why should they pray, right? Because it's how you fellowship with God, you know? And if they don't want to, or I don't want to, maybe I'm not using the kids as an example, but me too. If I don't want to fellowship with God, right? Well, someone telling me you ought to do it, doesn't make me want to fellowship with God, right? You see what I'm getting at? And that's where the religion and walking with God comes in. If I say, read your Bible, pray, you must do this. Well, they will grow up saying, oh, I hate this stuff. But if someone goes to God or to out of a desire out of their own heart to fellowship with Him, that lasts, right? And then the relationship is built up, and it's not based on, you know, my rules and regulations. Hebrews, Jeremiah chapter 15. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Chapter 15, we're talking about the word there. Verse 16. I swear the writing in this Bible was a lot bigger last year. I know it was. Right? Psalm 16, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words. I have one of my business partners at work. It's funny. You know Luigi. I think you met him, right? He comes in last. That was 2 weeks ago. He brings in this big magnifying glass, right? He's sitting at his desk looking at documents. He said, I've given up, right? Anyhow. Verse 16, thy words were found, just barely today, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He found God's word, and he got into it. Why? Because understanding or reading God's word is fellowshipping with God. You can't physically sit here and see God. No man has seen God any time, right? He's spirit. You can't see him. So how do you know what he wants for your life? How do you know what he's thinking? How do you know? You know from his word. So Jeremiah, when he read his word, said, oh, it was great. He got excited about it because it was his way of fellowshipping with God, right? Same with us. Why do I suggest to the children, anybody, you ought to read the Bible. It's good to read the Word of God because it teaches them this is how you fellowship with God. You read His Word. Oh, this is what God wants from me. This is what He's made available. This is how much He loves me. How else are they going to know, right? I can tell them. But eventually, they go off on their own, right? They got to have some place to go to, right? They'll keep telling them for the rest of their lives, and this is it right here, right? Jeremiah said he got so excited he had to go to the Word, and they found them. It was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. And you can't separate God from his Word. So if the Word of God is the joy and rejoicing of a man's heart, God is the joy and rejoicing of their heart. Because the Word of God is, this is God, right? This is his Word to us, his will to us, right? Look at Galatians chapter 4, please. Galatians chapter 4. And see, I think, you know, when you read God's word and you know, you read it and you find the scope of it in your life and you read it more and more, the more you start to understand God's heart, you know, not just God's, I don't want to use the word commandments and rules, but God's, what his heart is, right? And there's a big difference between knowing just what it says in here and understanding what God's heart is, right? Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons and daughters, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The close father and son relationship, because we have Holy Spirit that allows us to fellowship with God so closely. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, as they used to be in the Old Testament. And even then it was like, oh, I want to fellowship with my God. And now we're children. How much more should we want that close fellowship? Thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So, you know, here we start off this section with this wonderful relationship that God set up as father and children, right? You know, like, the kids would never have to do anything for the rest of their lives. I'm still going to love them. They're my kids, you know. How about God, right? You know, how much does God love us if, you know, us as limited earthly parents can do that, you know, for our kids? Interesting section that God starts us off by saying, you know, your children, you have a close relationship. Now let's see where this section goes to. It's interesting where it goes. Verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, right? You see, now he's saying, now that you know God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Wherefore, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. You know, he says, you know now that you are children. There's this close relationship with God, your Father. You can say Abba or Father, Daddy. Modern understanding of the word Abba, Daddy, you know. Yet it's close relationship. He says, why now? Because you have it. Would you want to go back to a relationship based on rules, regulations, and this religious way of serving God? Why would you want to do that, right? How could any man ever want to go back to that, right? You know, in the Old Testament, David went into the temple, right? Remember when he was hungry? What did he do? He ate the hallowed bread, the showbread. He ate it. How can a man do that which by law was not allowed for him to do? Right? Because he knew God's heart. You see, he knew the heart of God. He knew that wouldn't annoy God. He knew he could do that. Why? Because he understood God's heart. Right? See, once we understand God's heart, why would I ever want to condemn myself based on rules and regulations of life? Only religion will make you do that. Right? Not God. God is not going to say, well, you haven't read the Word of God today, my Bible today. Down with you, down with you. Thunder and lightning, whatever that, you know, or whatever, you know. Okay, that was, what's that? Mosquitoes, yeah. Worse than, you know. You know, I asked myself the question, you know, do I really know God? Do I really know what he likes and doesn't like? I bet you if you ask people out there, you know, do you know God? Do you know what he likes? What kind of answers do you think you're going to get back, you know? You know, well, you got to make your bed in the morning. You got to keep yourself clean because cleanliness is next to godliness, right? Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal, right? Aren't there people that do all those things and maybe not love God, right? Yeah. Is it possible to not cheat, lie, steal? Yeah, you can keep yourself clean, take showers every day, and do all that stuff and yet have absolutely no fellowship with God, right? It can't be based on that. That's what this is saying here. He goes, look, you're my child. Why do you want to go back to that now? Why do you want to base that relationship on, well, it's Sunday. I got to have fellowship on Sunday. Or, you know, I haven't studied today. Or I haven't done this. Why would anybody want to base a relationship on that? When God says, I love you. You're my child. That's all you need to do. You know, I kind of interesting how that context is there, right? I mean, to me, it's like, well, that's pretty kind of telling. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I don't know about you, but I've found that generally, you know, and I don't think people mean to do it, but maybe they're led that down that way. People generally base their relationship on the things that they do, right? their relationship with God, they tend to base it on the things that they do, right? You know, I did this or didn't do that or didn't, therefore God. And whereas our relationship with God should be based solely on what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's what it needs to be based on. Not what you do or I do. It's got nothing, but you know, people, that's the way people are. You know, I don't do this or I don't do that. And, you know, God is saying, well, I did all this for you in Jesus Christ. Now, you want to go back to basing the relationship on what you do or don't do? You know, like limit that. It makes it debase that relationship with God so much. You know, and God says, come on, right? Even the Old Testament, you know, read sections of Isaiah where God says, okay, you know, you make wooden idols, you make all this stuff, you know, you do all these sacrifices. I didn't want any of that stuff. Right? It's the same thing, and he's saying it in a different way here in Galatians. But, you know, he wants your fellowship. He wants God, he wants your heart. And when you know God's heart, you know, let's say you didn't do what you normally do every day. Well, you know what the Word of God says. You know God doesn't love you any less for that, right? I guarantee you, there's probably very few believers, and even those who have been in the Word, who, let's say they didn't read their Bible for 2 weeks, they'd probably be decimated up here, right? I guarantee it, right? Maybe they didn't pray for a week. I bet you up here they'd think God doesn't love them anymore, or, you know, what kind of lousy person am I? You know, why would you ever want to go down that road, you know? I don't. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, to the intent, am I in the right chapter? Yep, chapter 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now this is talking about all that he's done in Christ, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness and access to God with confidence by what Jesus Christ has done. So if I do something now, how could I undo my boldness and confidence with access, boldness and confidence, thank you, to God by what I did when it was Jesus Christ who gave me that in the first place? You see, I couldn't undo that. Only up here in my mind can I undo that. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You see how far this goes, way beyond the, well, I didn't read my Bible today, or, oh, I shouldn't eat fish on Tuesday, or, you know, this is so, that's way down here, and this what we're reading here is way, way up here, right, as to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, you know. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know if anybody would even believe that, right? Tell someone, you know, you can be filled with all the fullness of God, right? Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, but I didn't. But I can't. But how could me? You know, you get all those questions about what you do or don't do, and where the Word of God is clear. Can you be? Does it have anything to do with what you did? All it says is, believe what I did in Christ. And that's it. And that's what our relationship with him is based on, is what he did in Christ. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You know, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. You know, sometimes, I know we've read these sections of Scripture many times, you know, sometimes we read these sections and go, oh yeah, I've heard this before, you know, I'm exceedingly abundantly above all that, you know, and sometimes you can get into this mode of, well, what does it really mean? You know, and how do you understand, how do we learn to understand this better and better, except by fellowshipping with him regularly by way of his Word, and God revealing it to you, right? it doesn't just happen like that. It's just God reveals it to you as you read His Word more, as you fellowship with Him. God shows you the greatness of the relationship that He has with me and you by way of His Word, right? And then you get into the desire, you know, I want to hang out with a God like that. I want to fellowship with Him. I want to speak to Him. Yeah, there's needs in life. He knows that. And He says, in fact, He says, I know your need before you even ask me, right? But go ahead and ask me. You know, let's fellowship together. Let's talk, you know. And I think, you know, then there's no guilt in my heart towards, you know, like just because I didn't do something or maybe I made a mistake. There's no guilt because He loves me. You know, the kids don't carry guilt. I wish they would. No, I don't. I don't wish that. They don't. They don't carry. They shouldn't carry guilt, right? It's just great. I have my daddy. He loves me. You know, well, how about God? You know, he's our Father. Why would I ever want to carry anything, right? We'll close in Psalm 138, please. Psalm 138. I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. You know, if God has magnified His word above all His name, He considers it pretty important. So should we, right? In the day when I cried, Thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of Thine own hands. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You see, God really knows us, you know, and it's the onus is on us now to really get to know Him. Right? You know, did Jesus Christ know God? Right? Oh, my goodness. You know, how could people come up to Him and say, well, you just healed someone on the Sabbath day? Why would He do that if He was observing days and months and time? He knew God. He knew His Father, right? He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, you bunch of idiots. The bunch of idiots is not in the text, okay? But, you know, He said he. That's how He confronted them, right? And how could He do that if He didn't know His Father? He knew His Father. He could say that to Him. Yeah, I'll heal him. That's the right thing to do, right? Yet they were so bound up. You know, kids and I were reading Acts last week, and we're reading that section where, you know, when they heal somebody, right? The people all around, some of them were filled with madness at a healing, right? Think about that. Think about how evil the world has become, you know, and that was a long time ago, that could actually happen, where a person was healed, hadn't walked for 40 years, right? And they got him up, walking, leaping, praising God. No, the song there, right? Walking and leaping and praising God, and there were people who were trying to kill these people who did it. Right? Think about that, right? My goodness. You know, so how could Jesus Christ go around and do all these things that were cross purposes to the world? Because the world is generally cross purposes with God, right? And so you're not going to get any help out there to learn about God, but you're going to get it from in here, right? When God says He knows me, this is Old Testament, verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Exactly what the manifestation said tonight, right? Know what they said? No, on my left, my right, that's what it said. The Word of God says that. Same God, right? Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed me, possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You see how much God yearns to have fellowship with his man, how much he knows his man, how his creation. He understands who we are. He understands that we're dust, yet he loves us with his whole heart, right? And he just cries out for fellowship. Not this kind of cold, you know, oh, you healed on the wrong day, therefore you should be killed kind of understanding of God, but that kind of understanding that allowed a man like David to eat the showbread, that allowed the Lord to heal on the Sabbath day because he knew his God. How desirous are we to know our God? How much? And the answer is, well, how much do I go to his word, right? How much do I want to know him? How much do I want to fellowship with him, right? And then the answer is for all of us to figure out, right? But then as you get to know him, just like David and, Elijah, Elisha, these great men, the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, when they went to those really, really critical times in their lives, they had this great confidence in him because they'd known him, steadily over, just had this great fellowship with him, right? Remember David rising up saying, I can't wait to meditate on thee in the night watches. He wanted to be at nighttime just so he could meditate on God's word and fellowship with him. Maybe he didn't have a need that night, nothing specific, just wanted to fellowship with him, right? So anyhow, you want to get to know God, we got to know his word, right? And then as we know him, we understand what a wonderful father he is, and our desire to fellowship with him just grows and grows, right? And so our confidence and trust in him will grow as well, right? So let's fellowship with God. The computer didn't blow up.